Well, today we're going to talk about one of my favorite words and things, and that is compassion. And the scriptures you've heard this morning were just full of it, from the call to worship, where God is described as compassionate and his loving kindness, which is a form that compassion takes, is new every morning. Talks in that psalm about God gifting us with compassion to others. It's just mentioned over and over again. And then in our Philippians 2 that we've been in for a number of weeks, and I'm going to look at the overview slide, compassion is, in this week 4, it's one of the traits of Jesus that we are to share or have the attitude of. And let me read it and fill in the verse 1 sentence with it. Paul writes, "If there is any affection or compassion, and there is in Jesus, then make my joy complete by being intent on one purpose." So we're going to talk today about what compassion is. We will talk about what that one purpose is. But I also want to mention that Jesus not only demonstrated compassion, but he loved to tell stories about compassion, like the prodigal son story, like the Good Samaritan story you heard this morning about a man who owed a great debt and the person to whom he owed the debt had compassion on him. This is a big theme for him. So not only something that he lived out, but something that he taught. So today we're going to look at what it means to have and to show compassion. We're going to talk about how to show it and also how to develop it or cultivate it in our life. How do you get compassion? Is it you just pray for it and you get it? No, it's a little bit more than that. So we're going to start this morning by talking about what compassion means. And most literally, if you kind of split the word in half, it means to suffer with. So there's a picture up there of the Good Samaritan story, and it is a great illustration of compassion. Compassion is not just a feeling. It starts with that, of putting yourself in another person's shoes, imagining, experiencing what it is that they are suffering or enduring or feeling, but it's also coming alongside of them with them to be a part of that. It is the motivation, the feeling behind love of neighbor, which is something that Jesus talked about a lot. It's the greatest commandment. Love God, love your neighbor. One thing I want to highlight as we move forward today is it's not just a feeling. You can feel sorry for someone, but leave it at that. And perhaps even the two men that walked by before the Samaritan, we think they noticed the man. They might have felt sorry for him, but that didn't lead to action. Compassion has a quality to it that stirs us up and stirs us to engage, to come alongside and to help and to be with the other person. So at the end of this story, Jesus told it, and then he asked, as Jesus liked to do, he asked a question, and he said, in this story, who was the good neighbor? And they had to answer, well, it was the one who showed mercy. As unexpected as that was, to have a foreigner, someone of a different religion, someone who, by all accounts, should not have stopped for a Jewish person, beat up or not, the man who showed mercy was the neighbor. And then Jesus not only ties compassion to showing mercy, but then to a command. He says, you go do the same. Go and do likewise. So that's going to be kind of the arc for our focus this morning. Now I want to talk a little bit more about the phrase affection and compassion. I think my cue to Mike is the word guts. I couldn't think of a good way to work that into my first sentence, so I'm just going to have to say it. Guts. I previewed this with Heather last night, and she said, I love you. And I said, I love you with all my guts. And she kind of looked at me. I was like, you're going to have to wait till the sermon tomorrow to hear about that. Back in Jesus' day, it was just part of the language. If you wanted to talk about something really true, really strong, really deep down, you didn't tie it to your heart, which is what we might do. I love you with all my heart. They knew that was up here. They went deeper down, right? If they felt strongly about something, it was from the guts. If you have your pew Bible, or if you're following along the same translation that we read, or maybe in any translation, you might see a little footnote in Philippians next to, if there's any affection or compassion, there's a little footnote next to affection that says it's actually inward parts. Loosely translated by Robert, guts. It's that word up there, and I try not to mention Greek words, but it's just so fun to say, splanknon, like kind of sounds like what it, I mean, it's the guts, the stuff down in there. That's how they talked about something that was deep-seated, deep down. And, you know, we don't do that with love, But we do it with other strong emotions. At least when I was growing up, a thing, not a good thing to say, but something that might get thrown around the playground was, I hate your guts, right? I mean, that was a pretty strong feeling. And we understand that. Deep down, there's something that stirs us. And maybe it's just not romantic anymore to say, I love you with all my guts, or I love your guts. But you get the idea, right? And I saw that graphic online, I love you with all my kidney, so that's kind of close. I want to take that idea of love with guts, and compassion can also be that. And that's what's going on in Philippians when Paul says, if there's any affection or compassion, it's really us struggling in English to translate what he literally said was, if there's any compassion from the guts, from the inward parts, if there's any deep-seated or heartfelt compassion. I mean, that's how we would say it, heartfelt compassion. He said gut-felt compassion. But it's maybe a little misleading to think about affection like you might have for a friend or a crush or something. It's all really one idea of, he's talking about compassion that's not just a feeling, not just helping someone out, but it's something that stirs up from deep within. And he's saying Jesus had that. And we see that in Jesus' teaching and in Jesus' stories. He said, Jesus had that, so have that attitude. Remember, we're talking about how to line up our lives with Jesus. That's this whole thing we've been looking at for weeks and weeks. He's saying, Jesus was like that, so you be like that. So how do we see that in the story of the Samaritan? One, the first two people who were religious people, well, we know they saw the man because we're told they crossed to the other side of the road to avoid him, right? So they noticed him, but moved on. It was the Samaritan who not only saw what happened, but we might say his heart went out to him. It's the same idea as his guts motivated compassion, right? His heart went out to him. And not just that, but it led to the action of stopping to help. And not just that, but taking him to a place where he could receive continued care and providing money for the innkeeper to keep looking after him. And then saying, and I'll be back to check on you, right? And that's where I get to that phrase about the intent on one purpose. Compassion, if there's any deep-seated compassion, and there is in Jesus, then make my joy complete by being intent on one purpose. That compassion is purposeful. It has intent behind it. Longevity behind it. It has follow through behind it. And I want to summarize all that by saying what he's talking about here. If I could kind of pull the word meaning and the idea is gutsy compassion, right? Not just the behavior of helping someone, which is good. Not just the feeling of, oh, that person needs some help. But gutsy compassion is something that stirs from inside of us to reach out, to walk alongside, to help, and to do so in a way that has purpose and intent behind it and care. I want to make sure you're going to be all right, not just that you are all right in this moment, that you're going to be all right. So I wanted to just give some examples in case it's hard to connect those dots. What might gutsy compassion look like for us? There are examples within this church, and I won't embarrass anyone by naming them, but I know several folks who look at the community around us, whose heart has landed on the elementary school, who substitute teach, who tutor, who meet with kids to make sure they are getting what they need, learning what they need to, not just once, but walking alongside of them. That's a gutsy compassion that has intent and purpose behind it. I know there's some of you, some are deacons, some are not deacons, but it's the same ministry who see folks in our congregation or connected to our congregation who aren't able to get out and drive or get out and about the way they used to and take time to go visit, play a hand of cards, eat a meal, call and check up on them, pray with them. You see need and your heart has gone out and you've acted on that, and not just once, but with continuity. I know there are folks in this congregation who feel burdened for the world and our country and our community and the needs all around us that are almost overwhelming if you take a good look. And they have been stirred up to pray, not just a prayer, God bless us, but to pray diligently and with purpose and with follow through and with, has anything changed in the last week? How can I pray more effectively for this? Stirred up to that kind of active engagement of suffering along with others. And the list goes on and on. I guess the question behind what does gutsy compassion look like is, where is God stirring you, right? If there's not the guts part, if there's not the stirring, then it can just be an activity of the church or the individual or the community group. And those are good things. I don't want to ever say that helping someone is wasted. It's not. But if we're setting our sights on Jesus, on gutsy compassion, he's saying, what stirs you up so much that you can't help but jump in to the fray? And so I was reminded of our previous series that really stretched through the whole winter that was titled, Here I Am. What is it that God might be, even now, stirring up to you that makes you want to say, me, I'll do that, God. You've lit the fire in me for this thing. What is it that God might be stirring you up to say, big or small, here I am? And I think that's a clue where God is stirring you to what gutsy compassion might look like for you. And don't ever hear me say in any of this, responding to God or following Christ, that it has to be huge, right? Jesus talked about faith the size of a mustard seed. He found beauty and glory and obedience in small things. The widow's mite, right, who put a penny in the offering. He said her generosity was greater than that of all the Pharisees, right? So the question is, where is God stirring you? And what might, as one fruit of that stirring, what might gutsy compassion, heartfelt compassion, look like for you? And then finally, maybe this is an unasked question, so I'll ask it. Well, if I don't feel that, where do I get it? Where do I get compassion? Is it just something that God drops on me out of nowhere? Is it something I can learn? Is it something that I can develop? I thought of at least two ways. I'm sure there's more. And perhaps if you pray, maybe God does drop it on you. But people that I've seen with extraordinary compassion often have themselves suffered. So that's one way to experience heartfelt compassion is if I have suffered in a way, it makes me tender. It makes me attentive to, I'm not talking about in the middle of that, but after that, it makes me attentive to people who may be experiencing something that's similar or the same. And I want them to have someone walk with them in the way that I did, or perhaps in the way that I did not, right? I want to do better than what I experienced. I want to walk alongside someone, and your heart goes out to them, right? And that's gutsy compassion. And I can imagine the Apostle Paul, if he were writing on this, saying, does that mean then that I should seek suffering to become compassionate? No, may it never be. But if you have suffered, if you have been hard-pressed, if you have been overwhelmed, and God has seen you through that, I think God can. Sometimes that suffering is the most unexplainable to us. Why did that happen? I don't know. How could that happen? I don't know. But I do know that God sometimes redeems suffering that we've been through. And one form of that is to then help and bless and walk alongside someone else who is suffering. Not explaining to them, because there's not an answer of why is this happening, but saying, I'm here with you. You need not be alone. Right, so that's one way that compassion is stirred up, is if you have experienced God's compassion or someone else's compassion, and you can then extend that. But a second way is also, I don't think you have to have gone through every type of suffering in the book to be a compassionate person. I think the core, and this was true in the parable Jesus told, the core skill of being compassionate is through paying attention and noticing and responding. It is other-focused, right? I can't notice what's going on around me if I'm super fixated on myself. But the Samaritan noticed there's a man who's been beaten and robbed and needs help. So he noticed, and then he acted. And I think it's like so many other things we talk about. It may be that going through the the action will develop that muscle of compassion. It may be the first time, you know, that I go volunteer at the men's shelter. I've not been stirred up. But having done that and seen the men there and experienced walking alongside them, it may be that God starts to kindle that fire of compassion in that particular area towards me. So paying attention, noticing, responding. All of this describes what I think Jesus talked about, love of God and love of neighbor. Really, it boils down to that. Noticing, responding, compassion is a form of, and it's perhaps the fuel behind love of neighbor. So here's my challenge to you, similar to one back when we were doing the Here I Am series. My challenge to you is to see what, and more importantly, see who you notice this week. And I'll just leave it at that. See who you notice, who God opens your eyes to or sets your attention on, and see, ask the question, God, what would you have me do from here? Perhaps the first step is just noticing what's going on around you, but it may be you find your heart kind of leaping out of your chest and saying, how can I come alongside that person? Maybe it's simply praying for them. Maybe it's talking to them. Maybe it's getting involved. That's where it starts getting gutsy. But the challenge is see who you notice this week and set your intent of purpose on gutsy, heartfelt compassion. That is a feeling that is tied to an action that has follow through. Let's pray together. Lord, this is one of those passages where I, as often, feel convicted that I spend so much time focused on my own self and comfort and feeling and needs. And I pray before I even ask it for the folks in this room that you would open my eyes to the needs around me and help me to notice the suffering around me. And Lord, for each of us, I pray that you would continue to kindle and cultivate the fire of compassion in our hearts, not because it earns us a special spot in heaven, not because there's any reward at all, but because it's what Jesus is like, and we would be like him. And Lord, we thank you that that's a calling and an invitation that's new every day, and we aren't graded on it, we're just invited into it. So Lord, again, would you fix our setting, our compass heading, our direction on Jesus himself, where we might find ourselves veering off course, would you gently remind us and call us back to walking after our Savior Jesus and loving like he loved. And we thank you for his example and his teaching and his going ahead of us. And we pray in his name and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.